This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. It's the legal hour today with our good friend Kevin Fush. So we will not waste any time and open up the phone lines right now, 303-477-5600. If you've got any kind of legal question or problem, we will take your calls today. And Kevin, welcome, first of all.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Man, it's hard to believe, dude. It's going to be May.
Absolutely. That's the way it goes. Man. It just seems like we got through New Year's and it's I know. In April.
Exactly.
It is what it is, I guess.
Yes, it is. FleshLawFirm.com, F-L-E-S-C-H, LawFirm.com. And Kevin's number, 303-806-8886. And as I always say when Kevin's here, put that number in your phone. We hope you never need it, but when you do need it, you need it right there at your fingertips. So 303-806-8886. Well, Kevin, a few things we wanted to kind of talk about today. One, and we were just kind of talking before the show, is just the deal about insurance and people just knowing their policy. And
right.
We say it so much, but, I mean, man, just as the times we do this show and the few cases I know about, it must just kill you inside, so to speak, when you sit across a table from people and all of a sudden they realize there were things they could have done at a minimal cost that would have helped them get more money on their settlement.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the worst case for me when I've got a family, because that's where it really comes down, where you've got kids and a wife and a husband together in a room, and they've been in an accident that shouldn't have been as dramatic or traumatic as it is financially for them if they just would have had uninsured motorist coverage. And, yeah, we do talk about it a lot, and it is one of those things that is something that each one of us can do in our daily lives, to go talk to our insurance agents to make sure you've got as much underinsured and uninsured motorist coverage as you can have. Because what happens is the underinsured person, the person that has the minimum limits, because in Colorado it's $25,000, or a person that has no insurance hits you and causes you injury. And the cases that really bother me are the ones where you go to the emergency room, you go to the chiropractor, you have maybe $30,000 in medical expenses, and the person has only a $25,000 policy, and you have a $25,000 policy for underinsured, uninsured motorists. So you've got a total of about $50,000 possible recovery, and the case is worth $100,000. You now have left $50,000 on the table that you have no way of getting compensated for, because the majority of the people that have $25,000 in insurance have no assets.
Right.
And there aren't many people that are willing to chase that individual, knowing they could get the policy limit right away, or you could go to trial, get a judgment, and then chase them for their employment, because at any time that person can file bankruptcy.
Sure.
And then you get nothing. So, yeah, I mean, we were talking off the air about a client that I just had that, you know, realistically, the case had a value, and we always talk about what the case is worth, what a jury will pay.
This is realistic.
Yeah. We had a case that was probably worth $500,000 in value without any trouble, and there was $125,000 worth of coverage. And we got that $125,000 worth of coverage, and we were able to negotiate the medical expenses down, so there was virtually nothing that they had to pay. So there was a good result with what we had.
Right.
But it made the difference between the person receiving $75,000 or $70,000 in their pocket versus $370,000 in their pocket. And that's a hard conversation.
And maybe with a cost of, on the high side, $1,000
right,
a year.
Yeah.
To get that.
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, there's so much media out there about, you know, how our insurance rates are going up and how you make a claim and it's going up. But the bottom line is that, quite frankly, the UM/UIM coverage, the uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage, when you look at what it costs per thousand, it's incredibly inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just isn't used a lot. But when it is used, you need it.
Right.
And it's one of those things that you're so glad that you get it. And when I first started in my career, you know, someone told me, go out and get disability insurance, as much disability insurance as you can afford and you can get, and it's going to be the best premium you pay that you hope you'll never use. Mm-hmm. And it's the same way with this underinsured
and
insured.
Because now, I mean, I look at stuff, and it, you know, I'm going to be 60 here in a few weeks, and I mean, now you try to buy those policies.
They're really expensive.
Oh, yeah. You can't, and especially as you get closer to 60, it's more and more difficult to get them. Yeah, you can't. You're just not in the right market for it at that point. And, you know, same thing as long-term care policies, all of those things that it just means you have to be looking at yourself. And you know, this is a legal show, obviously, and the reason we're talking about the insurance is because of those situations that you never plan for, that you never you never expect them to happen, but when they do, it's nice to have the coverage.
Yeah.
And so I can't stress it enough each time, and I should be an insurance agent sometimes based upon these conversations.
We'll have to get you on a payroll GIA,
exactly.
Group insurance
analyst. But it's definitely one of those things where you want to talk to a human being that works for an insurance company.
Because actually, I mean, I think, you know, all of us, you know, just growing up and looking at policies, and they start talking about, you know, 5,000 med pay or 100,000 here or 300,000, we're thinking, that's a lot of money.
Right.
But it's not.
It's not.
When you get into the medical world today.
Yeah, no, it's not. We just had another case where a client was in the hospital for a week. You know, the medical expenses were over $200,000. And luckily in that case, there was enough coverage. So that case, they're going to get full value for their injuries. But I've also had cases like that within the last 6 months where we've got $100,000 in coverage. And the insurance company's more than happy to provide that. And they immediately tender those policies because they know that it's going to go to medical expenses and it's going to go to other things that the person needs when the person really is entitled to a lot more if they had the coverages or the person that hit them had the assets.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, kind of some exciting news in
Flesh and
law
back
firm now.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, so I've had an associate of the firm, Lori Beck, with me. She's been with us for about 10 years and has really become the fabric of the firm. We don't really talk about employees a lot on the firm, but she's made partner and made the ability to be a named partner, which we're all excited about because she's been doing good work for the firm for a long time, and she's due to have her name on the door. And so we're really excited about making that change to the firm will now be named Flesh and Beck, and you'll hear us doing shows like this. Hopefully I'll get her in within the next month or so to talk to so that we can introduce her.
Yeah, just
to
say, hey, got your name on the door, you got to get on the radio.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. There's some positives and some other positives for being on the radio. So she's really excited about it. She's been very motivated throughout this time period working for the firm, has done some really good trial work. She's a great trial lawyer, and we're really excited about having her name on the door.
Wow. We'll look forward to getting her in studio.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. So when you hear Flesh and Beck Law in the future here in the coming weeks, still Kevin and Lori Beck, again, his partner there. And again, that number is 303-806-8886. You know, I was looking at things today a little bit about, and we've talked about some things with attorneys and really, man, if you're looking at the medical world, whatever, I mean, I want a specialist. I want somebody that does that one thing, and in your case, you do personal injury and criminal, but I mean,
but it's trial work, right?
It's trial work, you know. Yeah. And so, man, I want that person. And there's so many reasons, you know, you need a good experienced attorney. But I thought we might hit a couple of these things today here, just to talk about why you need that experienced attorney and not someone that does family law,
right?
To do your other case. I'm not talking about just experience in the legal world. I'm talking about experience there.
Yeah, specifically with regards to the cases that we really talk about relating to personal injury. The thing that people want to remember is they may have a lawyer that they really like that does maybe their business litigation or their you know, they have a small business and they help them with tax filings and making sure that they know what entity type they are. Those generally aren't the individuals that do what we do, which is figure out insurance coverages, figure out where we can get people compensated for their injuries, and then really look at all of the aspects of a personal injury case to determine value. I mean, we do it every day. And so what's important relating to the experience that you need is, first of all, you need somebody that understands the system, deals with the insurance companies on a regular basis, and then knows about the different, there's just so many landmines. And there's so many things in the law relating to personal injury cases that people don't really understand. I try to have conversations with folks in the initial consultation about, certainly everybody's always wondering about value and that sort of thing, but the real conversation that I want to have them understand before they make a buying decision and which lawyer to pick is, make sure that you're talking to someone that's actually going to be there making decisions with you at the moment that you're settling, and making sure that you're comfortable with them in the sense that you trust their judgment, because I think that's so important.
Sure.
Because there are so many of us out there in the metro area in particular that are advertising for these cases. But I think the rubber really meets the road is relating to how they react when you're in their office, mm-hmm. and how they react when you're face-to-face with them. And in the society that we're in with the digital media and everything else, it's really easy to decide on who exactly you want to have make a decision about your case and take your case on by advertising and everything else. But I think it's so important for people to get in front of the person and really talk to them and make sure that that's the person they want, because the perception in the media isn't always what you get when you're sitting in somebody's conference.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, and especially with just how they handle the cases. You know, talking about experience, it's one thing to have a law firm that says they do personal injury cases. It's another really to understand how they do them, because there's different ways that many firms handle these sorts of cases. We're very linear. The person that you meet initially and the paralegal that you meet, you're going to meet a lawyer right from the get-go. There are a lot of firms where you don't. You meet individuals who are either paralegals or legal assistants or case managers is what a lot of firms call them. And they're sort of they're working through the system. Some firms have pre-litigation departments where you start out there, and if your case doesn't resolve, then you go to a litigation department and you meet a whole new set of people that you may or may not like. I mean,
right.
We get people that come to the firm after that switch has been made at other firms, and they say it was like starting all over again, and they were like, why am I doing this? Whereas, I think from the standpoint of what I want in a customer service experience when I deal with service people, I want to know who I'm dealing with throughout mm-hmm. the process. And so that's why we've set it up the way we have, so that it's not something that's a surprise halfway through where you've lost the individuals that you've gained all of this trust with and that you've become to have a relationship with, and then they're no longer involved in the case. I think that's really hard for the clients.
Yep.
And I just think it's a bad experience for them. And it gives the industry a bad name. But there are firms out there that's how they handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're comfortable with that, then that's the experience you're going to get. I just don't think it's a very good way to handle our business.
Sure.
Because I think you lose things going yep. through that transition process.
Right.
And it puts people back several months in the sense of when their case can be resolved that it really doesn't need to. But that's one way of dealing with it. So that experience is important. The other thing that's important to us is the fact that you do have a good experience with the lawyer and the paralegal that you're dealing with, mm-hmm. and that we return your phone calls and we answer all of your questions. And the majority of my clients now, they can get a hold of me via email and via my cell phone a lot of times.
Sure.
And that's a function of good practice management, and it's a good indicator of how things are going. I know when I'm at the end of the day and I've got a phone call that someone called me the day before and I'm just returning their phone call, that we're a little out of control. And we'll admit that, right?
Sure.
But I'm talking about a 24-hour period. I don't want it to go beyond that.
Yeah, to Monday.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I stress that with all of my employees, and I think it shows in the way that we handle things. So not only are we aggressive in the sense that we can go forward and litigate things in the appropriate way, but we also are concerned about the customer and the customer service. I mean, because I think that's really important. So those are things. We're talking about experience. We market ourselves a lot of time about you see these big judgments or you see the big verdicts and all of those things. But the important thing is to understand where your case fits in and whether or not you're going to get the service and whether or not you're going to have the experience that you want with a credible job and a fair resolution.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesch. 303-477-5600. If you have any questions for Kevin, we'll take your calls. When we come back, we're going to talk about a few of the reasons you need an experienced attorney. You know, what happens when you get the ticket?
Yeah.
Is there still an option for you to come out in a good way? We'll find out the answer to that right after this.
Without changing your budget, own your home faster. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have learned to pay less interest to the bank, not change their spending habits, and own their home faster. Affordable Interest Mortgage has a possible solution. 720-895-0500. Does your current loan allow you to access your equity without refinancing for another loan at higher rates? Does your current loan allow your equity to make your mortgage payment without late fees or dinging your credit? At AIM, we have a loan that allows you those freedoms, all for 30 years. This could be the last loan you need. Pay off your home faster, pay less interest to the bank, access your equity when you need it, skip payments. Call AIM for details, 720-895-0500. If you're tired of paying all that interest up front on a traditional 30-year fixed, call 720-895-0500 and let us save you thousands. Home of the Asset Manager, locally owned and operated, where it is all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298-191, Equal Credit Lender.
Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is proud of their 45 years of HVAC service to Littleton, Highlands Ranch, and Denver metro area. Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is your Lennox and Carrier expert heating and air conditioning contractor. They are proud to offer the finest heating, air conditioning, and indoor air quality products with prompt and professional customer service and satisfaction. Call today and mention Haystack Help Radio and save $25 off any repairs or $100 off your furnace installation. Call 303-798-3880. That's 303-798-3880 for your appointment today. Littleton Heating and Air, A-plus members of the Better Business Bureau and official Haystack Help registered company.
Ladies, I know you're tired of walking into the local gun store and seeing the same old thing. So let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. Just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe and Sedalia, you will find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. And if you or your spouse love to hunt, Rampart Firearms is a great stop for all of your hunting needs. Shotguns, rifles, pistols, anything from predator hunting to your next big game trip. Head to Rampart Firearms at the foot of the Rockies. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And you will only pay a 4% tax on your purchase. RampartFirearms.com, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050.
Rush to Reason with John Rush. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. It's the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesh. We're talking about why you need an experienced attorney. And I said right before the break, you know, what happens? There's an accident. You get the ticket. Or you automatically, you know, out of luck. So, Kevin, how many times that happened where you've had a client, you know, come in, they go, hey, I got cited for this, but I don't think I was wrong.
Right. Yeah, it happens. I bet we get probably 10 or 15 of these cases a year. And we've got to be really careful because the majority of the time the police officer gets it right. So when they give a ticket to a person, they generally have investigated it well. But where it happens, where I see it happen the majority of the time is where, and there may be just some bias in the police, but if you've got, let's say, a Spanish speaker, that they're not able to speak with them about what happened exactly, and they've just decided that that person is the one at fault for the accident. Mm-hmm. I've also had it where... I've got a case in Denver right now where there was a green arrow and the police officer didn't realize that there was a green arrow at the intersection, not just a green light. And so they cited my person for turning left in front of traffic that was supposed to be stopped. So it really comes down to a factual determination on each one of them. I'm not afraid to look at those cases pretty strictly and try to figure out, let's first of all deal, because we deal with the criminal defense side, let's go and go after the ticket, and let's see if we can prove the ticket wrong. So a lot of times in those cases where I believe my client, first of mm-hmm. all, and the evidence seems to suggest that what they're saying is correct, we'll take on that ticket and we'll go forward with final hearings on those to see if we can get some early discovery to figure out what exactly has happened. And I'll give you an example in Lakewood. I had one, that was probably about a year ago, where I had a client come in and he got just T-boned in an intersection and significant damage to, he had an old Chevy pickup and it bent the frame. A guy in a Lexus hit him square in the middle of the intersection. Wow. And he said, listen, this wasn't my fault, but I got the ticket. And we kind of went through the trial and had all the witnesses and everything. At the end of the trial, the judge in Lakewood said, not only do I not find you guilty of this traffic ticket, I've actually believe you've now proven that the other party's at fault, which is pretty unusual. But the evidence was so overwhelming in that case that the police officer had just gotten wrong that's really helpful for us in those instances where we're moving forward. So it does happen. It does happen where the officers get it wrong, and you've just got to get the police report. You've got to do some investigation. And there's those sorts of cases are times where my firm will take that case on, whereas many others won't.
Say you take an inexperienced attorney, right. You make the phone call. Hey, now did you get the ticket? Yes, I did. I can't help you.
Right. and the reason there's a couple of reasons that happens. One is, generally speaking, the folks that are doing a lot of marketing in this sort of area of practice want the low-hanging fruit. So the majority of the firms, it's going to be too much work for them to actually go through a hearing and find out really what happened. So they aren't interested in it because we're handling the case on a contingency. Because maybe half of the cases, maybe 30% to half of them, it turns out that they are at fault, right? So they just don't want to take that risk because they don't want to waste the time. We're willing to look at it and really figure it out, especially where I feel like, again, the initial interview where we have the free consultation. I'm spending right. time with the client, and I get the feeling, I get a gut reaction from the person that's sitting across from me that they're good people, that they're being truthful about what's going on. And then there's some corroborating physical evidence that seems to make sense that the way the ticket went down isn't the correct thing. The other thing that people need to know is that the ticket, although it's a lot of times something that the insurance companies and other lawyers may think about in determining liability, even if you're convicted of that traffic citation in the criminal court, in the traffic court, that is not determinative of actual liability in a civil court. So there's a specific statute under Title 42 that says that whatever happens in the traffic court relating to either a disposition where you take a plea bargain, because a lot of times that's what happens, right? You get the 4-point careless that they knock down to a 2-point defective vehicle. The fact that you took a plea and that you paid a fine and you moved on from that can't be used against you in the civil case. That a jury in a civil case gets to decide liability based upon the evidence that's provided, not what's happened in the traffic court. And I think a lot of people don't recognize that, too.
Right, right. And, you know, you mentioned earlier, a lot of firms are set up in different ways. Many firms are set up to just get the highest offer they can get by a few calls with negotiations, and they have no desire to go to trial at all. And, you know, that's just not their deal.
Right, and the insurance companies know that.
Yeah.
They know the ones that they can make a lowball offer to, and they know the firms that will most likely not file the case to move forward with the litigation, and also they won't go to trial. And we're just not one of those firms. I give another example. You know, I went to trial once on a case that I thought had value of $1,500. And the client was really upset about it. It was a minor injury case, but it was one of those things the insurance company was offering $500. It cost us $200 to file the case, and they still wouldn't offer us any more money. So we went to trial on it, and we got what we thought the value was, just because the client was upset by the way that the insurance company had treated them. And we thought that it was a good case to test a little bit what exactly a jury would think about the valuation. And it turned out we were right. But it was one of those things where most firms, they're under $10,000, there's no way that they would touch that because it's not something that they are interested in from their business model. But it's something what, you know, it's certainly something that we want to help people with, because when it's important to a client that there's a resolution in their favor the way that we did in that case, mm-hmm. then it's important to us.
Sure.
Yeah.
Another reason for the experience needed with your attorney is when it comes to this matter, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, is the insurance company negotiation. And I hate to use the word tactics, but that's what it is.
Absolutely, that's what it is. There's no question. I mean, it's an adversarial process. It's both sides have their own beliefs about valuation. And the insurance companies, the thing that helps them is the volume of the cases that they have and the ability for them to coordinate those results. So they have in their possession databases that they know certain cases, what they do is they categorize them into different valuations relating to liability, relating to damage to vehicle, relating to what the medical expenses are, all of those sorts of things. And they can tell over time in multiple jurisdictions what that what that particular case should be worth. Mm-hmm. And they use that sort of computer modeling to then determine what they're going to be offering a lot of times in each individual case. And unfortunately, from the plaintiff lawyer's perspective, they're right a lot of the time. So that has to be taken into consideration by us when we're talking about settlement. So it is a tactic. I mean, they theoretically, they have the evidence on their side when they say, well, listen, this case, in this particular situation, we think if you try it 10 times, you know, half of those times, this is what it's going to be worth. And the other half, you may lose completely. And the other half, you know, three of the seven or the 10 cases will be worth, you know, home run value sort of things. And there's many times willing to take that risk because they have enough volume of cases that they want to see how that works out. And what happens, too, is insurance companies at the beginning of each year, at the end of their fiscal year, will decide what they want to do with regard to claims experience and how they want to handle things for the coming year. And we see that every year that sort of changes, insurance company by insurance company. So one year, one particular company will say, you know what, we're going to try a bunch of cases. So we're going to offer low amounts for settlement, and then they're going to try to see how all of that works out. Normally, their claim experience is higher yep. than what if they would have just made rational claims offers. And then the next year, they go back to what they were doing before. But it's that sort of process that we have to endure a lot of times to get through these cases. And it's not getting any better mm-hmm. Because of sort of the economics of insurance companies. And also, there's just, with the advent of safer vehicles, there's just fewer cases out there, which is good.
Right, right.
But from the standpoint of my particular industry, I think it's an industry that who knows what happens when we have driverless cars. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be really interesting the next 10 to 15 years as to how exactly this all plays out.
No kidding.
It's from the standpoint, you know, what I've heard from people that are trying to be progressive in the way that they're looking at the future, they're not holding out much hope for the personal injury lawyer that's doing a bunch of auto cases because they think that driverless cars are going to be better than human beings behind the wheel.
Right.
I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so that experience, not only, you know, just in this conversation, I see it points in a few ways. One, that experience counts with the insurance companies. While there are a lot of insurance companies, there's probably a half a dozen you deal with 80% of the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yep.
I'm
absolutely.
Just guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so that experience counts with the insurance company. They realize, hey, you know what? Looking back at this guy's track record, he's always, you know, pretty fair and
right.
he's right on, and he's serious about going to trial.
Right.
There's also that experience when you walk into a courtroom where, you know, DAs, judges know, you know.
Right. That's exactly right. Especially on the civil side. And I get that a lot anymore because of the criminal defense stuff. And it's very interesting because many people don't realize this, but judges, district court judges in particular, will rotate into different divisions. And they do that about every 2 years. And most of the jurisdictions, except for Jefferson County has what's called a diversified docket. So the judges there will work on all kinds of different cases. They may have, in one day, they may have criminal cases, domestic relations cases, and civil cases that they take care of. Most of the jurisdictions specialize so that when a judge comes into a particular term for 2 years, they may be just doing a criminal docket or they may be doing just a civil docket. And so with our practice, I get to see those judges a lot of times in the criminal docket mm-hmm. because we do a bunch of felony work. And so they'll know that I try cases there and that I can try cases and that I'm decent to deal with there. So when they transfer over to a civil division where they're brand new, I've had comments like, oh, it's nice to see you here. It's a friendly face for them because they're comfortable with us and what we do and the other. And then we already have some credibility coming into that courtroom. Right. And it does help over time. There's no question about that. And because we're doing trial work in the criminal stuff, you have a tendency to do more trials in the criminal defense arena than you do in the civil cases, and so you're in the courthouse more. Yeah. And so you get a relationship with the folks, and that's really helpful in knowing what a judge is going to do when you've got an issue that you think you're right about and you think that the judge is sort of a like-minded person. It makes a difference.
Right. It's the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesch. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple more points on this, and we're going to move on. Talking a little bit about motorcycles. It's getting in that season now, and I'm going to talk a little bit about motorcycle accidents and maybe the difference there with personal injury. But when we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, the experience is definitely needed when we talk about assessing and calculating the damages to maximize recovery. and a few things more on why you need an experienced attorney like Kevin Flesch. We'll be right back.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
When people see the new, beautiful cat lodge at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they're pretty impressed. With its sleek condo spaces, stunning wall murals reflecting Colorado mountainscapes, custom-built cat trees made from real aspen and spruce, and a colorful and entertaining fish tank, we couldn't be happier to show it off. The Cat Lodge is a special place for cats of all ages and sizes to hang out when their families are away, providing much-needed peace and tranquility. Whether your special friend loves to lounge, nest, explore, or be entertained, you can rest assured that your special companion will find something that suits his or her fancy. The atmosphere is relaxing and stress-free and filled with cat-friendly activities and objects of interest. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, we understand how stressful it can be to leave a beloved pet behind when you have to be away. Call Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center with your questions about our new cat lodge and our cat boarding services. 303-708-8050 or visit lonetreevet.com.
I was out on my motorcycle and a car came out of nowhere and hit me. And I was hurt bad. My life was instantly turned upside down. I can't go to work. My bike was totaled. I had some savings, but that's all gone. And on top of all that, the person who hit me didn't have any insurance at all. I just don't know what to do.
After you've been in a motorcycle accident, call Kevin Flesch at Flesch Law. He will answer all of your questions. Kevin Flesch will help you determine if you are entitled to compensation for your pain and suffering. And he has the experience and the knowledge to navigate the complicated maze created by the insurance company designed to minimize your claim. Call Kevin Flesch of Flesch Law at 303-806-8886 to find out how he can help you to get the compensation that you deserve. That's Kevin Flesch, 303-806-8886. Call now and get back on the road.
If you're looking for great deals on outdoor equipment and clothing, we've got you covered. Hi, this is Bill Paddock, owner of the Outdoorsman's Attic, your outdoor gear consignment headquarters. You'll save 20, 30, 40, even 50% on previously owned outdoor gear for the fisherman, hunter, and camper. We also sell live bait, firearms, and ammo. If you're doing a little spring cleaning, bring in your gear to the Outdoorsman's Attic. We'll sell it for you and put cash in your pocket. You can also pick up your hunting and fishing licenses right here at the store. Your one-stop shop for all your outdoor gear needs is the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hampton Avenue in Sheridan, Colorado. 303-781-3626. That's 303-781-3626. Or visit us online at outdoorsmansattic.com. Mention Sportsman's of Colorado and receive 20% off all your outdoor clothing.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesch. You're just joining us. We made a little announcement earlier. A little name change is going to be going on with the firm. It's going to be now called Flesch and Beck Law, and that's due to Lori Beck. Been with Kevin for a number of years now and coming on as a named partner, so we're excited about that, and we're going to try to talk Lori into getting on the show with us here in the coming weeks as well. The number you need to put in your phone to always have it handy is 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886. 86. Wrapping up here on this one topic about why you need an experienced attorney, and just to recap again, if you're just joining us, we talked about, you know, when fault is contested, you know, what if you get the ticket? You need an experienced attorney that can help you walk through that. Also, the capability of proceeding to trial. And then the insurance company, negotiations and tactics. You need that attorney to understand all of that. And then, Kevin, when it comes to the big part, and that's assessing and calculating the damages to maximize recovery. Because, I mean, probably within the first 5 minutes, if I had a recorder in your office, it comes up, what do you think this is worth?
Yeah, it does. And so many times the conversation evolves into a what's fair.
Mm-hmm.
And the trouble with the conversation relating to what's fair is that's not at all what is really what we're dealing with, unfortunately. What we're dealing with almost every time is what would a jury in the jurisdiction in which this accident happened or in which the defendant resides, because that's sort of the standard. That's where I get to file the lawsuit. I get to file a lawsuit either where the accident occurred or where I find the defendant. And so if you have a defendant that lives in Arapahoe County or Douglas County, for example, those are pretty conservative counties. And so the case probably has less value there than it does in Denver or Boulder, because those jurisdictions generally have higher jury verdicts. And so those are always things that we're considering, is where exactly can we file the case, if we have to file the case, that's going to maximize the value of what that case is worth. Because at the end of the day, as much as we talk about fair and reasonable compensation, it comes down to what a jury, what both sides, both the defense and the plaintiff, think a jury is going to award you, and then the insurance company is going to try to pay as much lower than that as they can, right? So if you have a case that realistically, if you try the case 10 times and 5 or 7 of those times the value is going to be $100,000, well, an insurance company is not going to pay you $200,000 because they have the same information that we do. And so we know in settlement purposes they'll probably offer as much as $75,000 to resolve that $100,000 case. Because, and it depends on each case. There's three aspects of the case we look at, right? We look at liability. Who's at fault? Who could have contributed to that liability? And are all those people involved in the lawsuit? And are all of those people most likely going to be found at fault? And is all of that fault going to be more than the plaintiff that's bringing the lawsuit? Because if the plaintiff is more at fault than the defendant in regards to that, then the plaintiff doesn't recover. So liability is important. Then causation. Did that liableless act, the fact that somebody caused you injury, has to be determined. So there are times where somebody may be liable, but that they didn't actually cause any injury. I just had a case that I spoke to a prospective client this morning. They had injury, but we don't think it was related to anything that anybody did that was negligent.
Gotcha.
Right? And so that happens from time to time. Or sometimes you can have, I have a case that I screened yesterday where the people are liable, but there was really no injury from what they did. And so the damages weren't anything that anybody would really pay the plaintiff for. So liability, causation. Did that action cause damages? And then the damages. Then you've got to decide how much the damages are worth from that negligent act. And so when you consider all of those things, that's where you get to then what is a jury going to pay you for that?
Mm-hmm.
And so as much as the common vernacular is what's fair, it's not really that. It's not what's fair, unless you believe that a jury is the fairness arbiter. But it's, you know, six people that come into a room that don't know you, don't know the defendant, don't really understand the process, and then they get evidence and argument put to them, and then they have to go back in a room and decide unanimously what that number is going to be. Well, anytime you get six people together talking about money,
mm-hmm.
most likely it's going to mean that the plaintiff is going to get less as to what that award is going to be, in my mind.
Right.
I mean, you just don't know.
Sure.
But generally speaking, for six people to award, and that's why I always laugh when I see in the news media that, you know, these outrageous jury verdicts. I don't see any juror coming into a courtroom thinking that they're going to make some sort of outrageous verdict, right?
Right.
They really take their job seriously, and we have the best legal system in the world as it comes to these sorts of matters. I mean, there are so many other countries that don't have anything close to what, United States of America has regarding how we deal with our civil cases and how we resolve them. Because the community members still get to decide. And I think that's really important for everybody to remember when they bring a claim like that. So right. So that's what we're always trying to guess, is what six random people that we don't know what their backgrounds are, we'll meet them that day, they won't have any connection to either the lawyers or the case, and they get to decide what the value is. And sometimes you get really good ones, and sometimes you don't.
And that's where, again, just to kind of end on this segment about the experience, you got to have that experience
right.
to know, is it worth doing that and take what we have, or...
Yeah, and anymore, I've done 150 or 200 jury trials over the last 20 years, and I get a gut reaction to things anymore that it's not really an intellectual thing. Mm-hmm. It's just a, ooh, this doesn't make me feel good about what a jury may or may not do. Or if I'm practicing a closing or an opening argument in the mirror and I have a hard time looking myself in the eyes about what I'm saying, I know that that's going to be difficult for a jury to swallow as well. And so those are the sorts of things that experience brings you, as you know. I mean, that's the great thing about my job, is I get to go out into the community and really get a sense of what exactly people are thinking. And it gives me a real good understanding of what I should expect in the way of evaluation of a case, because I've been there and I understand. Because over time, you get to see what the community does.
Right.
And when you get to see that, you also get a little bit better sense of what they're going to do in the future on cases.
Right. To end this real quick, let's talk about free consultation. And most people know what the contingency fee is.
Yeah.
Got to understand, I mean, I don't understand why people would not call 303-806-8886.
Yeah.
Get a free consultation under no obligation to you or them.
Right.
Just to come and talk about this. And then it doesn't cost me anything unless we get paid.
Yeah, unless I get you money. This is where I think people, first of all, I think the stigma is that whenever you talk to a lawyer, we're going to have a handout looking for money right away. So I think many people think of a retainer in all situations. So that's, you've got to pay me money today to do work in the future. Personal injury cases are not like that. Personal injury cases, we handle these cases on a contingency, because most people, and what the contingency is us getting you money. And the contingency is based upon us having a relationship with you, understanding the case, and eventually arguing to someone that they should pay you money for something that's happened to you. I mean, that's it, right? So I make more money as I get you more money in the way of resolution. The trouble that people have a lot of time is then they look at the amount of money that we get, because we normally get a percentage. It's normally 1/3 of whatever we recover.
Right.
But the people often forget about the risk that we run on these cases many times. There's no risk to the client, really, mm-hmm. because unless, and we have had this situation where the client comes to us and has an offer on the table, right? And we talk through it. I'm not taking money on the offer that somebody has already gotten. I don't think that that's fair, because I haven't added any value in that way. Now, not everybody is like that. And
that's where
you need to talk to other lawyers before you retain them. But in the case where, you know, I've had this happen where someone has a $50,000 offer, they have a $100,000 policy, I say, okay, we'll get a percentage of the additional 50. And so we have that conversation. And I don't understand why someone wouldn't want to have that free consultation earlier in their case than later.
Yep.
Because there's no downside.
Now, the statute is what, on just auto accidents?
Yeah, auto accidents, 3 years from the date of the accident.
How many calls have you gotten? I
mean, the last 6 months.
You got the last 30 days of that 3 years, you know?
The last 6 months, we've had probably 5 or 8 cases that were within 1 week of the statute of limitations that they're calling us to have them handle the case. And we file the case within
a day or
two.
And does that make it more difficult for you?
Oh, it absolutely does. And what happens is the people haven't either treated very well, or they have done things that have hurt their case along that 3-year period. Mm-hmm. That's affected the valuation, what a jury is going to think. Because a lot of times what the jury is given for presentation of evidence is what the people have done after the accident that either gives them credibility or it lessens their credibility. Because that's what the defense is really good at, poking holes at you and I for things that we do on a daily basis that we don't think are a big deal, but make us look not as credible as we probably are.
Right.
And so, you know, you waited 2 weeks to get treatment. Well, why did you wait? The defense would say, you waited because you weren't hurt. I would say, well, it took you 2 weeks to get to a doctor because you thought, like most of us do, that it's just going to go away. And it didn't. And then it was finally bad enough that you went within 2 weeks. It's still within 2 weeks. So it's still within a reasonable time after an accident. But the defense would say, oh, well, you probably fell down in your house. Or you had another accident. Or something else happened to you right. that had nothing to do with the car accident. Or you're making it up and you decided that you needed to do something to make it look like you were injured in this accident. That's the sort of things that people do that they don't realize what the defenses are going to be. And so it comes back to the experience again. When we get people that call the day or two after the accident, it's much better for us to help them through the process than 2 years and 330 days after
exactly.
the accident.
Yeah. Once again, free consultation. It's a contingency fee. If you've got an offer on the table, as Kevin just mentioned, hey, that is yours. He only will take the percentage of what he gives you, gets you over and above that. And, man, just don't wait. If you've had an accident, you've been trying to handle this on your own, don't make a mistake that's going to cost you. Give Kevin a call today, 303-806-8886. When we come back, we are going to talk about the motorcycles a little bit. And I'm telling you, if you ride a motorcycle, there's probably times you're scared to death. And I'm telling you, sometimes in a car, Kevin, I hate that real quick. Traffic's everywhere, and all of a sudden, here comes a guy blazing through.
Right.
I mean,
Between the cars,
and oh, just completely dangerous and reckless there. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio.
Don't fall for gimmick ads when choosing your insurance coverage. Group Insurance Analyst has been Colorado's insurance superstore since 1984, where customers can compare and shop for all of their insurance needs. At GIA Insurance, their brokers have no allegiance to any particular health, auto, or home insurance company. Take advantage of their experience, expertise, and exceptional client service. For your free quote, call today at 303-423-0162. That's 303-423-0162. Visit their website, e-gia.com, or stop by their office at 44th and Garrison Street in Wheat Ridge. Group Insurance Analyst is an official Haystack Help registered company.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. Let me tell you what I love about Stack Optical. They are truly one of the last optician-owned, family-owned optical stores. At Stack Optical, you can be confident you'll receive personal attention. For over 50 years, Alan Stack has shown he really cares about making his customers happy. Stack Optical also has a beautiful new location at 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. Free and easy up-close parking. Stack Optical has an on-site eyeglass production lab. Whether you need office eyewear or a new set of shooting or golf glasses, Stack Optical has the solution with the Stack Sport Pack. Give them a call today and ask for their $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Your eyes and vision are one of the most important things in life. I'm confident at Stack Optical. You'll see the difference. That's 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com.
If you have questions about inheritance or beneficiaries and how it affects your retirement planning, Dot Mechtenberg can help you. Discuss your legacy wishes with Dot. She can help guide you through these crucial issues. Call Dot Mechtenberg today at 303-940-7807. That's 303-940-7807. Or visit dotmechtenberg.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to our last segment here with Kevin Flesh. It's the Legal Hour. Once again, Kevin's number, 303-806-8886. And as I mentioned, boy, it's getting that time of year now. We're going to have a lot more of our motorcyclists out on the highways and roads, and I don't know. Did you ever own a motorcycle, Kevin?
I did. I've got a very funny story about, yes, into my teenage years. So I was working in high school. I was working quite a bit at a hardware store and had made some money, and I had decided as a 16-year-old kid that I needed a motorcycle, and I had the money to buy a motorcycle.
Right.
And it's one of my parents were divorced. They were divorced very early on in my when I was being brought up as a kid. And this was one of the few times where both of my parents got together and said, we can't let this guy, we can't let Kevin have a motorcycle because he's going to kill himself. So they both said, well, you can get a motorcycle, but you're not living at either one of our houses. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So I did not get a motorcycle. I had the use of a motorcycle before that and got into some trouble on it. It just running around cornfields and other things, you know, dirt bike sort of stuff.
Right.
But the road bike stuff and you know, motorcycles, they're the people that ride. It's like things that we do that for pleasure that we really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Motorcycle riders, the ones that are respectful and the ones that all of them love to ride,
sure,
for the experience of riding. And, but they're, especially in the metro area and other large areas like this, they're really dangerous, mm-hmm, in the sense, not because of what the motorcyclists are necessarily doing, except for what we were talking about off, uh-huh, the air with the folks going down, you know, in traffic and going down middle of the lanes or doing the things that they do. But people just don't look. I mean, we have enough car accidents with people rear-ending each other and doing other things in their cars rather than driving that motorcycles have a lot of risk.
Mm-hmm.
And so from the standpoint of people owning them, I mean, obviously, we have a lot of folks that drive them, and we've handled a number of motorcycle accidents. The risk that you run in an accident is you have a lot more risk of being really injured.
Yeah.
And you're sort of the air coefficient in the sense of something can go wrong and you can figure out a way to get around it is much more difficult, I think, on a motorcycle. I actually have a trial coming up the middle of May where I have a client that was in a construction area and there was a big pothole in the construction area and he hit that pothole and was ejected from his motorcycle. So not only is the issue driving, but it's also the roadways in some instances, mm-hmm, an issue. And there's just another set or another layer of dangers with motorcycles.
Right. Now, we were talking in the break there, and I asked you about insurances being the same.
Yeah.
Touch on that.
Yeah, so they're not. I mean, you've got to check your policy. A lot of times motorcycles have their own individual policies, and a lot of times they're excluded specifically under an auto policy for underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage. So if folks are out there that have a motorcycle but also have cars and they think that their auto policy will cover them for underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage on their motorcycle, a lot of times it's specifically excluded because of the significant risk that you have on a motorcycle.
Right.
And so if you're in that situation and you're not sure, check your policy, talk with your agent, and make sure that those are transferable or stackable when you're driving your motorcycle. If not, you want to get additional coverage for underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage for that motorcycle,
okay,
experience. I had a case in the north side of town a few years ago where the guy had a bunch of insurance relating to his autos. He had several cars and he had a motorcycle and he didn't know that his motorcycle was excluded, and he got into a really bad accident and had a lot. He was in hospital for a month, and we thought we were going to be able to get that coverage, and it wasn't available. And so he learned an unfortunate lesson when he was able to get out of the hospital, and we thought we were going to make a claim, and we couldn't do it.
Right.
Just couldn't do it.
And a lot of times, I mean, yeah, they're single riders, but you see a lot of people, guy and a girl on one,
yeah,
together and things like that. So when you get into that insurance side, Should they get with their agent and see again,
yeah,
maximum limits,
yep,
they can get for protection?
Absolutely. And remember, there's two different limits. There's an aggregate limit that covers everything, no matter how many riders are on the bike. And then there's an individual limit. So the individual person on the bike has a specific limit. So a lot of times, you know, you'll see a policy where, let's say, the minimum limits are 25,000. So they'll have a 25-50 policy. And what that means is it's 25 per occupant of the vehicle and 50,000 maximum that you can get for recovery relating to that accident. Normally, you just have two people in the worst,
right,
case scenario,
sure,
on a motorcycle. The other thing that people need to know about is the use of a helmet. Because although the use of a helmet isn't necessarily illegal, you know, not using a helmet,
right,
in different states, it's mandatory. But it's also something that jurors take into consideration for contributory negligence. So if you are ejected from a motorcycle and you don't have a helmet on, historically, you're going to get less value if you don't have a helmet,
right,
on your noggin when you hit the pavement than if you do. I mean, it's just the fact is that jurors think that people should be wearing helmets when they're when they're riding motorcycles. And if you don't have a helmet on, then you're going to be contributing at least 25% most likely to your injuries. And if that's the case, then it just means you get less money in the long run.
Right. A couple minutes left here, but when it's accident versus car and you're representing the motorcyclist, let's say, is there automatically a little biased and prejudiced, you know, against motorcycles or against bicycle? Because, I mean, you hear people all the time complain about bicycle riders feel like they own the road.
I almost think it's worse for bicycle riders than it is for motorcyclists, especially, you know, we've got, in my mind, I have the sort of quintessential serious, like, road bike bicyclists, you know, they're all decked out in the spandex.
Their jerseys.
Yeah, you know, the whole deal, right?
Right.
And you laugh, but I think jurors think the same thing, because those are generally, that population of cyclists is the ones that generally think they own the road. And so those individuals, we have to be really careful about making sure that jurors, when we try a case like that, where there's an issue relating to that sort of mindset, that we downplay that, because that is the same thing with motorcyclists, same thing with the, I'll call it the, you know, the Top Gun sort of motorcyclist crotch rocket sort of thing. Those particular individuals that are riding those motorcycles, I think, have a different reputation than, let's say, your Harley rider, your 50s professional Harley rider going down the road, or a Goldwing, Honda Goldwing, that, you know, you're going to get a different perspective from jurors, and it's going to be a different valuation depending upon how the injuries have occurred.
Right.
And that is something to be taken into consideration. But from the standpoint of a lawyer representing those folks, generally speaking, the claims are worth so much more because of the impact from the accident.
Yeah, how bad the motorcycle accident is.
Same thing with bicycles.
Sure. I mean,
you know, a motorcycle and a bicyclist, they never win in a confrontation when they get hit by a car.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the way
it is. It's also the time, real quick, and got just about 30 seconds, but ATVs and different things, and out riding even on private residences and all. I mean, man, check your insurance and all that stuff too.
It's so important, especially if you own one and you're allowing someone else to use it. I had a case last year where a couple of teenage girls were on a side-by-side, and the one teenage girl was not experienced in driving it and flipped it and hurt the passenger. So we brought a claim against her and her homeowner's insurance and any other insurance we could find, because there were significant injuries. So in those situations where you have that sort of ATV, because it's not always covered under homeowners or some other, sometimes it's excluded, even if you're on your same ranch.
Yeah.
And so those are always good things. Same thing with golf carts. As crazy as it is.
That's another deal.
Yeah.
It does get crazy sometimes.
We can talk about golf carts, too, sometime. And especially not golfing when people use them for transportation, and especially in senior living situations.
Yeah.
it's really an interesting discussion about when exactly insurance covers those things.
Exactly. Well, Kevin, thank you very much. Again, now, Flesh and Beck Law. New name here for the firm, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886. We want to thank you for joining us today for the Legal Hour here with Kevin Flesh. Be sure and check out our website, and that's haystackhelp.com. And our helpline is always open, 303-333-HELP, 303-333-4357. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.